It takes us back really to the beginning of chapter 17, where the angel says, I'll show you, it's just in verse 1 there, come I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute. Mm-hmm. Well, in chapter 17 we didn't see her being punished, we see what was going to come from her.
She was riding the beast, wasn't
yes.
she?
But now, chapter 18, you see the final judgment on this world system. We'll pick up what the details are as we go along. Yeah, okay. So, first of all, he says, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. There seem to be quite a few angels in heaven, it seems to me. Right? The interesting thing about this one is he's pretty powerful. He had a great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. How about that? That's rather bright light, shiny, yes. So an impressive angel has come to give a message, yeah? And so with a mighty voice, he shouts. And it's a mighty voice so that everybody gets the message. Yeah? So, what does he cry out? Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. Now, there's something interesting about that sentence. Well, double for a start, fallen. But what's odd about the words? Anybody?
Babylon the Great.
Well, we've met Babylon the Great in an earlier chapter.
Yeah.
It's the fallen, fallen I'm interested in.
Happened soon.
It's past tense.
Yeah.
It's already fallen, as he says it, yeah? It's past tense, isn't it? Not to fall, or will fall, but having fallen.
Oh, it's fallen.
Yes, yes, past tense. Why? Because it's still future he's talking about.
Because it's done deal, isn't it?
It's future vision, this will be, but he comes along with the message, it's fallen, it's fallen. And you find that, actually, well, we'll look at it. It just it turns up in Isaiah. Look at Isaiah 21 verse 9 then. Isaiah
21.
Right, yes, yes, that's the part of it, yeah. Right, yeah. That's definitely part of it, yeah. So if you look at Isaiah 21 verse 9, it's a repeat almost of that, but in Isaiah 21 verse 9, it's described. The chapter 21 is described as a prophecy against Babylon. And which Babylon is Isaiah talking about?
Well, the same, the world system.
Well, no, in Isaiah's day there was a literal physical Babylon that lived up north, that was attacking Israel at the time. Nebuchadnezzar and his friends came along later, yeah? Sometime later after Isaiah, but in chapter 21 verse 9, he prophesies, look, here comes a man in a chariot with a team of horses. He gives back the answer. Babylon has fallen, and all the images of its gods lie shattered on the ground. Mm-hmm. Like, it's what's called the prophetic past. Mm-hmm. Yes? Mm-hmm. What he means is that the prophet looks into the future and sees what will be as if it's happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Because it will happen, it's going to happen, it's not going to change, and so you can describe it as already happening, even though it's still in the future. Yeah. Well, let's take it back to the angel. The angel is saying the same. The world system, the Babylon that he's speaking about here, right, it, one day it's going to be described as completely crashed, and he's saying it's as good as done now. In the plans of God, finished. Right, so you got the idea. That's why it's past tense. No, no, the first Babylon is a representation of the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the second one is the only real one?
Well, they're all real.
Physical.
The second, the first one was the physical Babylon.
Where?
In Babylon. In Iraq.
Yeah.
Yes.
The second one?
The second one, I have no idea where it's located. It's world system, as you'll see.
Oh, I see.
Yeah? Right. Anyway, okay, so it's fallen. Right. And it's become the home for demons and the haunt of every evil spirit, a haunt for every unclean and detestable world, bird, yeah? So it's just become a desecration, it's unclean, it's wiped out, yeah? That's where all the horrible things are living now, yeah? Right, so, and then we find that he says, for all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. What's that all about?
They've all been a part of the world system.
They've been part of, and what's this maddening wine of her adulteries? Remember, the word adultery doesn't mean physical sexual adultery necessarily, it's idolatry. Yeah? They've been taken in, the world, he says, for the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. They've become intoxicated with the world's ways and the world's system. You got the idea?
Yeah.
Right, so the excessive evil stuff that the earth's leaders really have been taken in by, there we could call it, you see, it says, the kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries. Mm-hmm. What's the great god that they worship?
Money.
It's money.
Yeah.
Power, well, power for the gods, for the rulers, mm-hmm. and money for the merchants.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's about. So they've turned those into gods, and they've yeah. been taken in by it all, yeah?
Deprivation.
Sorry?
Deprivation as well, aren't they worshipping?
It's true.
Worshipping deprivation? In what sense?
Like Sodom and Gomorrah become towns of evil, full of evil.
Depravity.
That's the word, yes. Yes. You said deprivation means loss.
Yeah.
It's depravity.
Depravity,
that's the word we want, yes. Depravity, yeah. Yes. All those evil sorts of things, yeah. Again, although this is describing the world system at the end of time, very much a lot of what chapter 18 is like is really a description that comes from Ezekiel about Tyre. The city of Tyre was the commercial centre in his day. It was the place where all the transport, the exports, the imports and all that stuff went on. He describes the fall of Tyre very much in the same terms as Babylon, because it may be in a different place. It's probably London today.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Where the world commerce and all that stuff's going on. There, mm-hmm. New York, maybe, you know. But it's world stuff, but it's all the same old stuff, isn't it, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he's saying it's all going to crash. They're going to have a crash. Did you know that?
Yeah.
We've had a few, you know, serious ones, but this is the big one.
Yeah.
They say if you read the decline and fall of the Roman Empire, given it's parallel.
Same stuff.
Today.
Yeah. Okay.
Dennis, would the cup be also found in Jeremiah 51,
yes.
verses 4 to 9?
Yes. There's a lot of back references. God's going to give them a cup that's going to send them reeling, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. They'll be drinking stuff that won't do them any good. Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So verse 4, then I heard another voice from heaven. Well, they keep speaking, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Right. But it sounds like this is the Lord, actually, because it says, come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. So there's a call in verse 4 to come out. It's God's advice, isn't it? Come out.
Really, that is a prophecy that is happening today, isn't it?
Yes, mm-hmm. yeah. But it happened too in Jeremiah and in Isaiah's time.
Yeah.
There are references back where God says to the people in his day, come out of Babylon. I mean, in literal Babylon. Get back to the land I've given you, you know. That's part of the prophecy at that point. But it goes beyond that now, because being in the family of God worldwide, you know, we're called to come out of Babylon. What's the Babylon that we're talking about? Well, let me just give you a reference to it. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Yeah? 2 Corinthians 2 verses 16 to 18.
Does it come out of the world and be destroyed?
It's the world. It's considered as the world system. 2 Corinthians is where Paul picks that idea about that. 2 Corinthians 2. I hope I've got the right reference. I think I have.
16.
You're getting very good lately,
Dennis. Oh, I've written them down, Jean.
Oh, right.
It's my wife told me, Dennis, on the recordings, you sound like an idiot. She didn't quite use that word, but that's what she meant, yeah. So, rumbling around, trying to find things, you know.
Yeah, but it's staying on the recording.
Yeah, it will be, but I shall take it off, don't worry. Right, okay. It's good, isn't it, yes. Well, she tries to make it better for everybody, so. Okay, we're into 2 Corinthians 2, verse 16 and 18, yeah? Which is, have we got the right chapter here? I mean chapter 3, that's why, yeah. Right, 16 to 18, yes. To the one we have the smell of... No.
That's what I've got as well.
Yeah, well, it's not what I want.
What verse do you want?
There is a reference in Paul's letter to the Corinthians where he says, come out of Babylon, yeah? Touch no tainted thing. Where is that?
Might be 2 Corinthians.
Yes, it's chapter 6. Ah, it's chapter 6. I knew I'd got it, yeah. Right, chapter 6, verse 14, right, says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? And what harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does an unbeliever have in common with an Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? He's drawing the distinction between the world and God's children, right? Then he goes on, what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing and I will receive you. I will be a father to you and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. He got the idea. He's using the phrase come out, not about Babylon, but about the world, because Babylon is the world. So as Christians, we have to be separate from the world. That's what that message is there. In the middle of all this greed, power, evil, lost everything else, Christian, you're going to be different. Right, you got the idea. So, just to make the point, it's not just Paul that says this. It's 1 John 2. 1 John 2. Turned up just at that page. It's amazing, isn't it? 1 John 2 verse 15. You know this one. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. So that's really a commentary on chapter 18 in many ways, because he's saying is, what is the world? It's not the beautiful creation, the lovely things, the birds, the flowers, the trees. That's not the world that John means. The world is this, where he talks about the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has in and hasn't does. That's human hostility to God, excluding God, living their own evil ways. That's the world. And he says we should come out of that, to be separate from that, not to be wanting to go that way. And then lastly on that page, it says the world and its desires pass away. It's on its way out. Right, so that's what we're seeing in chapter 18. It's on its way out. Right, the judgment's coming. So, verse 5 is a good one. For her sins are piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. How about that?
They're piled up to heaven.
That's an interesting, again, little interesting reference back. Right at the beginning, when Babylon, when Babylon was created, they created the Tower of Babel. You know what they said about creating it? They wanted to build a tower that reached up to heaven. Right? Well, they've reached to the heavens all right, but it's not with bricks, it's with their sins. And as a result, God's going to judge them. It says, for God has remembered her crimes.
European buildings have copied those buildings, haven't they?
Yes.
Even to the point of looking unfinished.
Yes.
Have they?
Mm.
Yes. Right. Do a minute, really. Let me just say this, though. The last bit I want to emphasize on this one. God has remembered. He does not forget what they've done. The evil that's been committed, it's all recorded.
If you repent, he forgets all.
We're not talking about believers here, brother. We're talking about the world. Yes, but you're right. It's good to know that he's forgotten your sin.
Thank God.
Put it this way, he's chosen to forget your sin.
But the world is not the people in it.
So God does not forget.
No.
He remembers all this evil that's been done. Right. And then verse 6 is a very interesting verse, yeah? Give back to her as she has given. Pay her back double for what she has done. Mix her a double portion from her own cup.
Oh, goodness.
Now then, when he says double, what does he mean?
Give
it to her again. Is it two lots? It's not two lots. I'm just trying to explain this. It's not two lots.
No.
Right. Let me help you use an illustration. If I was watching the telly and I saw Janice on the telly, for example, I'd say to Janice, I'd say, "Hey Janice, I saw you on the telly the other day," and she'd say, "I wasn't on the telly." Yeah, it must have been my
double.
It means exact representation of what was there. So pay her back double means the punishment fits the crime. Exactly. She gets what she's got done, dished out. And we find that God's saying that about our sins in Isaiah chapter 40. He says, speak tenderly to Jerusalem. And all of that. He says, well, let's read it. It's a lovely, lovely verse. It's one of the good ones, if I can find it. It's Isaiah 40, verse 2. Come, or verse, speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Right? In other words, God has paid the receipt. The complete bill is covered. Yeah? He shows you the double.
What about Isaiah 30, verses 25 to
28? What about Isaiah 30, verse 25 to 28? I haven't got that down as a reference. What's it say?
Well, 25, it says, on every high mountain, a lofty hill, will be streams that with flowing brooks. The bit that I highlighted in my Bible was this here. On a day of great slaughter, when the towers fall.
Where's this?
This is in Isaiah 30.
Oh yes, yes, there was 25. Yes, on the day of great slaughter, when the towers fall. Yes, yes. Yeah, judgment comes on one and brings out blessing for his people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's going to happen, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Lovely. All right, back to our revelation then for the moment. Yep. So, they get paid back exactly what they've earned. That's what it's about, yeah? Right, so verse 7 we're into now. Give her as much torture and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. Right, so how does she see herself?
As a queen,
she says, I sit as a queen, not as a widow, I'll never mourn. Do you know what that's called? It's called security, but it's false security. I'm alright, nobody can touch me, I'll stay alright. Yes, I'll be a queen forever, nobody's going to knock me off my perch.
It's also arrogance.
It is arrogance, yes, yeah. And it's false security because she's going to lose it all, of course.
But we have that security in Christ, don't we?
Yep. Yes. Yep. So, I'll give you a reference to Isaiah again, if you like.
These two verses, 6 and 7.
Yes?
I remember in Scripture when God says, vengeance is mine.
Yes.
Yes, says the Lord.
And then He's saying, give her. Surely the Lord should be doing this, not us.
Well, yes, although whoever's doing the paying back here, it's the Lord in some way or another, isn't it?
Is he talking
to us? It is the Lord who's paying back. I understand what you're saying.
Is he talking to the angels?
It may well be, yes. I don't know who's paying back. But I'll just offer you this as an interesting one. His vengeance is the Lord's, but he can use whatever agent he chooses in order to bring the judgment. Yeah? So we're not to go out and seek revenge and so on. But leave the Lord to sort that out. But I just in a way, it helps to explain something that people find very difficult when they read their Old Testaments, that Israel was commanded to go in and wipe out the population. You know, we call that ethnic cleansing if it happened elsewhere, right? But it's not ethnic cleansing. God is saying is, time's ripe, I'm the judge, I pass sentence, you do the job. That's really what it's about, It sounds as awful as it is. God is saying is, I'm the one that's passing sentence, I'm saying it's time up for the Amorites,
Well, and like murderers, I mean, when they used to, it was the death penalty. I mean, that was God's mercy in a way, wasn't it? Because they had to live with what they'd done. And God put an end to it and said, right, that's it.
Well,
you've done the deed and
you face the consequence.
He used men to carry out.
Yes, they're God's agents. Yes, yeah. But it doesn't say who the agents are in this one. It's just that Babylon is going to get back what it's dished out. Right. Okay, so that's good.
I do think he's talking to angels.
He could well be. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Now then, verse. Where have we got to verse. Now I was going to read the verse chapter Isaiah 47. Isaiah 47, 7 and 8, about this arrogance and pride. He speaks of Babylon, the actual Babylon to start with. Isaiah 47. I'll tell you again. Isaiah 7 and 8. Yeah. It's almost the same wording,
yeah?
You said, this is Babylon literal,
yeah?
You said, I will continue forever the eternal queen. But you did not consider these things on reflect on what might happen. Now then, listen, you wanting creature, lounging in your security and saying to yourself, I am and there is none besides me. I will never be a widow or suffer the loss of children. Both of these will overtake you in a moment on a single day. Loss of children and widowhood. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, so what was prophesied of the literal Babylon was prophetic. This is, I keep saying this, history repeats itself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because God's in charge. What happened then is going to repeat only on a bigger scale in the world system of things.
I don't know if it's recorded in the history books, that, Dennis, but did America, one of their presidents, make some sort of declaration that would never be invaded apart from Pearl Harbor?
I don't know.
Quick, no one can touch,
so I don't know. Well, if he makes comments like that, he's a fool.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just heard it said.
All right. No, I don't know. No, I don't know. Right. Yeah. You should have read the Bible. He'd see. You don't make stupid statements like that. Yeah. Right. Self-sufficiency is a bad thing.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So we're on to verse
nine
now. No. Verse 8. Yes. It says, she'll be consumed by fire, and the plagues will overtake her, death, mourning, and famine, consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord who judges her. God is bringing the punishment that's written down in the law. Yeah? Mm. She's going to be burned. Do you know what happened to a priest's daughter that entered prostitution? It's in Leviticus.
They burned her.
Yeah, they burned her. Yeah? And this nation world system has turned against God into idolatry, and so he says it's going to be burnt, destroyed. Yeah, God is able to judge. Why? Because he is mighty. Right? Mighty is the Lord God who judges her. He has the ability to do what he threatens. Yeah. Next then, let's have a look at verse 9. The kings of the earth, these are leaders of the world, aren't they? Right. What do you think of the leaders of the world today?
They're getting dealt with now, aren't they?
Right. Well, when the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her and shared in her luxury see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her. So, there they are, living in luxury. Yes. How many leaders have managed to create bank accounts in other parts of the world?
One day,
God's going to wipe the system.
Yeah.
And all that they thought they got is gone. And to my mind, you know, when I said he paid back double, it's a fitting thing, because if you read in chapter 6 in Revelation, it talks about the time of the horse that goes out is the one with famine and a day's wages for a bit of wheat and stuff like that, you know. But it says to them, spare the oil and the wine. The luxuries are okay. It's the poor old souls at the bottom of the pile that suffer. Well, the ones at the top of the pile have got it coming. Yes, it's coming. Their little business has just collapsed. Yeah? Terrified at her torment, they will stand afar off. Whoa, whoa, O great city, O Babylon, city of power, in 1 hour your doom has come. That emphasis on 1 hour didn't mean maybe it may well be, but literally 1 hour, doesn't it? It means it's quick and it's soon and it's fast. You got the idea. So destruction is coming, and they're very upset about it, of course. They're terrified.
They're all getting dealt with one by one. Director, film director.
Oh yeah.
He's gone.
Well, please pray the Lord exposes evil. That's what it's about.
And he's told us again and again, our fight is not against flesh and blood.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the evil that has overtaken them.
They've been deceived. Okay, so they're terrified when they see the system crash. Mm-hmm. Why are they terrified?
Because
they know they're next.
And also it could be some other girl and seeing it happen in front of their eyes.
I mean, it's a tragedy and a sad thing, but during the crash in the 24, was it? People jumped off the rooktops of the building. The whole life savings wiped out. And in the Weimar Republic after the war, the First World War, you needed a barrel load of money to buy a loaf of bread.
Same in Germany when the Reichsmark, the Deutsche Reichsmark, loads of people killed themselves because of the value.
Yeah, so that's the tragedy of it all. And the problem is because people, it's a warning to us as well, you know.
Yeah.
Is your security in stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever it may be.
Nothing.
Yeah, because God can just,
yeah,
and you know, wipe it out. And the same for when people were locked up in Jerusalem because of their sins at one time, you know, in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, they were eating stuff. They couldn't eat their gold anymore.
No.
They could pile, they might have a pile in the backyard, but you can't eat gold.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So, right, so that's them. Now then, verse 11, we've got the merchants now.
Mm.
Right, the merchants, they're the businessmen.
Mm.
Right, yeah. The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore.
Mm.
How about that? They're just going out of business.
Mm.
It's called a crash, isn't it? Trade's disaster, dear. Yeah, I mean, we get caught up in it in a way. But I find this interesting. You know, when we read earlier on how the Christian believers are persecuted.
Oh.
They have the mark. They don't have the mark. They can't buy or sell.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's not just the believers that can't buy or sell now. They can't buy or sell either.
Right.
It's wiped their out as well.
Yeah.
So what you do to one, God will pay them back.
Yeah. I remember a testimony of a couple that they got no money at all and they were really hungry.
Yeah.
And the Lord told them to go to this hotel.
Yeah.
And it's like, we've got no money or anything, but they went. And they actually met a friend who was in the shipping business, and they got the best wine in the world and the best cheese in the world. And they said, we could never have gone out and bought that.
No.
And yet God knew what their need was and provided.
Right.
Very good.
Very good. Okay. Verse 12 is about the cargoes that they have, all the merchandise. And it's really another rerun of Ezekiel 27, when the city of Tyre in those days. But the same stuff is what they're dealing with, right? They cover the whole area of, I've got four lists here, construction, perfumes, food and livestock, or minerals, plants, animals and man.
Mm-hmm.
So we look through them a little bit at a time anyway. It's all luxury.
Yeah.
That is the point, yes. Mm. It's all luxury stuff. Yeah. Cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones and pearls. If you read about the Babylon harlot earlier on, what's she arrayed in? All of this stuff.
Yeah.
Gold, silver, precious stones and pearls. Yeah. Well, they've got it all and it's stuck in their ships. They can't do anything with it now. Nobody can buy it. They can't sell it. Useless.
Worthless.
Right. Yes, worthless, yeah. So here we are, look at these different items of luxury items, it is, yeah. Well, we know gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple. Purple was expensive stuff in those days, Right, that's the idea. Silk and scarlet cloth. Every sort of citron wood. Well, they made, these are fragrant woods, you know, they're rather nice things for making stuff out.
From the lemon tree.
Yeah. Articles of every kind made of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron and marble. Cargoes, construction materials. You make things out of those, don't you?
Yeah.
Right, so the construction industry's got problems.
Yeah.
Yeah? And then cargoes of cinnamon and spice and incense and myrrh and frankincense. What's all that then?
And the plant life.
It's the cosmetics and perfume industry amongst other things, yeah. Then we have wine and oil. We're into the food bit, aren't we, yes?
Yeah.
Fine flour and wheat. Again, you know. Right, so we've got those. That's the food's problem. Yep. And then cattle and sheep, horses and carriages. Yeah, well, these are the domestic animals that they have. Carriages. They're not chariots.
Transport.
This is transport, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your roller has just run out. Right, okay. And bottom of the list, as far as they're concerned, as far as the world is concerned, at the bottom of the list, come the bodies and souls of men.
Yeah.
People, disposable, use them for what you want, throw them away.
Yeah.
Now, that's how they saw people. Yeah.
See that?
But they do that. But I mean, it happens in even if you're not a slave, it can happen in industry. You know, I mean, you hear it about some of these lads or girls. They go for an apprenticeship at a business. Yeah. It's happened in this country. Yeah. You work for a year, and when you've worked a year, they give you a job. But they fire you one day before the year's up, so they don't have to give you a job.
Well, I've said that's
called using people.
Yeah. I've said that about the NHS. I mean, the way they use their nurses is vulnerable.
But themselves,
yeah. Well, they've taken them in with the occult and all of this stuff, abusing them, aren't they, right? I mean, when people get smashed, they turn to all sorts of weirdo stuff, don't they, you know?
Well,
or total just give up.
Can you buy and sell a person's soul?
Well, it seems like it. They've destroyed them. They've destroyed the people.
It's the love of money, isn't it?
Yeah, I see what you're getting at, but to me it's just they're using people and destroying them.
Yeah.
Whatever potential they may have had as people in the image of God, these have destroyed them, basically.
Yeah, hopeless.
Yeah.
So basically saying they're choosing what's happening to people.
Yeah.
What's going to happen to them.
This is future, but the world system...
Well, what's happening?
They're getting worried now because of the thing with Italy, of course.
Yeah,
I mean, that only needs to wobble a bit, and then the buyers and sellers get all jittery. And
quick rush there and buy your woolen
shoes.
Okay. There we go.
There we go. Well, right. So verse 14, they will say, "The fruit you longed for is gone from you. Mm-hmm. All your riches and splendor have vanished, never to be recovered." I've written down in my notes here, capital, the end.
Yeah.
There's no recovery this time, right? Mm. Right. This is the crash of the devil's kingdom. It's Antichrist's kingdom wiped out. Because we're seeing now in Revelation, God's judging different areas of the evil that we've been introduced to. Yeah? Mm. So the world system with Antichrist is going down. Yeah. Right. Verse 15, the merchants who sold these things and gained their wealth from her will stand afar off, terrified at her torment. They will weep and mourn. Right. They're terrified at her torment, but really what they're terrified about is what they lost and what's going to happen to them.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Selfish lot across. Mm. They cry, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, great city. Dressed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, how it used to be, glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. And in 1 hour, such great wealth has been brought to ruin." Well, there you are. It just shows the value of stuff, doesn't it? How it can change.
Yeah.
Right. So what you've got to store up in heaven? Stuff
treasure,
that the moths can't get at, the thieves can't steal, and the banks can't rob you of.
Every one of you is my treasure.
Right.
Everyone.
Very good. Okay, verse 17 and a half, we've got there, right. It's the repeat of the chorus we've already had. Whoa, whoa, yes. You know, they do that in pop songs, don't they? Whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah, right, yeah, okay. very good demo, yeah. Every sea captain and all who travel by ship, the sailors and all who earn their living off the sea will stand afar. We're on to the navigation stuff now, the transport system around the world, this, you know. Right. They're all in trouble. The shipping industry, ships full of goods and nowhere to sell it.
Mm.
Right. They will see the smoke of her burning and they will exclaim, "Was there ever a city like this great city?" They will throw dust on their heads and weeping and mourning. Mm. Why do they throw dust on their heads, you know?
That's
kind of mourning, sign of mourning,
David tore his clothes when he lost his son, didn't he?
Yes.
And they didn't they?
Sorry?
Yes,
when they were under threat and the Lord saw their repentance, yeah.
Should people when the Twin Towers went down?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was a World Trade Center.
Yes, yeah. Well, they're all sad, they're all...
The mariners from afar probably been out in the sea to...
Yeah.
And all the
dust see it all, yeah.
Fall out, you fall in line.
Mm.
That symbolic one.
Mm. Yeah.
But it's like you said, it's a sign of repentance.
That was, but that's not for them. No. They're just miserable. They're just miserable. They're not repenting. Yeah. They say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, great city, where all who had ships on the sea became rich through her wealth." That's what they're upset about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've just lost my income. That's what he said that, yeah. Right. In 1 hour, she has been brought to ruin. Right, that's, we've got that line. It's a chorus again, yeah? Right. Okay, so what are we to do? Rejoice over her, O heaven. Rejoice, saints and apostles and prophets. Right, so who's glad? Heaven. It's from heaven, first of all. It's those, he's talking about people who've been persecuted and died as martyrs amongst others, the apostles and the prophets. Mm-hmm. These are God's servants. They're the leaders, the apostles and the prophets. Mm-hmm. But it also says, and saints. And who's the saint?
Me. You.
Are you sure now? You're not one of these special people with a stained glass window after your name or something like that. Right. Right. What's a saint?
A believer.
It's a believer. Yeah. The word saint means set apart. You're set apart for Jesus. You belong to him.
Yeah, right. Totally.
So the world population can be described as saints and aints.
Saints and what?
Aints.
Oh, what, sorry?
An aint. If you ain't a saint, you're an aint.
Yeah. Saints and aints.
Yeah, saints and aints. Yeah, I mean, we're laughing, but we don't want the aints to stay as aints.
No.
We want to give them an S, a saviour. Give them a saviour and they become a saint. Yeah. Right. Okay. Rejoice. Saints and apostles, yeah. For God has judged her for the way she treated you. So that's what it's about. Yeah, God is dealing out justice because of the wickedness that people have committed against his people. Mm-hmm. You know, it repeats this in the Bible, doesn't it, when he says about whoever touches you touches the apple of my eye. Yeah. It means the sensitive bit of your eye.
Yeah.
Good translation in Hebrew, pupil.
The pupil, yeah. It's the sensitive bit.
Leave the apple on the tree.
You mess with God's people, you poke him in the eye, effectively, is what it's about.
Yeah.
And he does not forget. Right. So God has judged her for the way she treated you. Then a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a large millstone. We're going to see a demonstration, a physical demonstration of what's going to happen to Babylon. Yeah, the idea of what's going to happen. Yeah. So we have this mighty angel. He's the one that's the world champion in lifting.
Was he the same one that moved the stone?
I have no idea.
You know,
in front of the tomb. Yeah, well, easy job for them, isn't it? Yeah. He says he picked up a boulder the size of a large millstone. Now then, you know, a large millstone is seriously big.
Yeah.
A large millstone has to be pulled round. Yeah. It's not lifted, it's pulled round by an animal to make it work. Poor old Samson got that job, remember? Right. So he just lifts it up. Then what's he do with it? He says, he throws it into the sea.
One-handed.
It doesn't drop. He throws it. And what happens to it when it hits the sea? There's lots of waves. Down to the bottom. Never to be seen again. I believe that's what the imagery is about. He throws it. It's going to be dealt with. And it's going. And you won't be seeing it again. And we get that idea in a moment of that's the end, yeah? So we have this visual demonstration. Just to give you another example, in Jeremiah 51, Jeremiah is, as a prophet, he's got a little throwing job to do as well.
What?
Jeremiah 51, verse 63.
Oh, cool.
You got it?
Jeremiah.
That's cheating. Jeremiah 51. Why does the Lord do that for you, but he doesn't do it for me?
51.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. Right.
No,
54.
You're not.
No, that's right. Yeah.
63.
Where is it? 63. Where we got it? Right. Okay. Then the Lord said, "Oh Lord, where you have said you will destroy this place, so that neither man nor animal will live in it, and it will be desolate forever."
63.
Jeremiah 51, verse 62. Yes, yeah. Jeremiah has been given instructions to his servant, or his friend, Sariah. He sends him off with a message to Babylon, yeah? That's verse 61. He said to Sariah, "When you get to Babylon, see that you read all these words aloud." That's the prophecy of the judgment on Babylon. "Then say, O Lord, you have said you will destroy this place, so that neither man nor animal will live in it. It will be desolate forever." Right. Anybody been to Babylon lately?
No.
Yeah. Do you know Saddam Hussein tried to rebuild it?
Yes, he did.
Yeah,
he
did.
Really? To remember his
yes.
name.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it didn't happen. You know, it's a dump. It's a dump. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
They tried to make it a tourist.
Right.
But
right,
not
right.
Many people.
Want to go? No. Yeah. It's a bit, yeah. Right. Yes. Yeah. Anyway, that's the prophecy. Yes. It's, when you finish reading this scroll, tie a stone to it and throw it into the Euphrates, and then say, so will Babylon sink to rise no more because of the disaster I will bring upon her. Mm-hmm. Yeah? So Jeremiah's friend is acting out what the angel does. Jeremiah's friend has a little stone
yeah.
with the writing like the prophecy into the water, down, that's it, end. Right? Well, the angel comes with a big stone, throws it in, end.
That's the end.
Yes.
Like you said, they were talking about physical Babylon, but he's talking about the whole world.
The world system. The yeah. world system. However that works out, I don't know all the details. We'll find out when we get there. But it's the world system, as you'll see in a little while on this one. Mm-hmm. Right, so, what happens is it all disappears. And then in the next section, this last little bit, we get six nevers. Never again. Other translations have slightly different wordings. But that's what it's about. There are six things that are never going to be seen again because the world system is coming to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, let's see what we've got here. With such violence, the great city of Babylon will be thrown down, never to be found again. So, Babylon is out and gone and never coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Antichrist system. Kaput. Mm-hmm. Right. Verse 22. The music of harpists and musicians, flute players and trumpets will never be heard in you again.
Yes.
What's that then?
No
music.
It's going to be silent.
No music. It'd be noise. Probably noise, but yeah.
We won't be here faster than
us. Sorry, we won't be there. No.
There'll be no music.
No music.
But the joy will be gone.
The joy's gone, yes. It's empty, yes. Right.
And I find that is actually manifesting in my life at the moment, because I cannot get joy from watching telly anymore.
No.
Not at all. I sit there and I think, I want to watch something good.
Try TBN. Have you got TBN?
Yeah, I've got TBN.
Oh, yeah, so you get some decent stuff on that. Yeah. Yes. That's about it. So, all this, the music stuff, I mean, to my mind, I mean, ask me, I'm getting old now, but, you know, a lot of modern, which I said really do sound old, modern music is music-less. There's no tune, there's no good stuff in it at all, you know. It's all about destruction and nasty stuff and all that.
That's what I said to Laura the other day.
Yeah.
She had a rapper on, I said, that ain't music, that's talking.
Yeah. Yeah. And the sad thing to my mind is, computer-generated music completely drives me mad.
Yeah.
Because all they do is they get a little phrase and they repeat it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Well, J.S. Bach didn't do that.
No.
Mozart didn't do that.
Aren't we guilty of
it
as well?
Who?
Aren't we guilty
of what?
Well, I've noticed that when we are singing, we have a lot of repeating.
Now, you notice they sang the chorus twice there, right?
Well, you do. I mean, sometimes more than twice, sometimes three.
Well, that's right. If it's a short one, someone said it. Someone put it like this: with us music people have to stand up on this one. Someone said this: we play it once, Harold.
Yes.
We play it once so you can learn it.
Yes.
We play it once so you feel comfortable with it, and then we play it three times so you can worship with it.
And the thing is, Harold, because it's not. Compute generated, it's got a value to each different sound.
It'd be different.
Whereas
it gets faster normally.
You must give me a little bit of mileage for my age.
That's true.
Yeah, I do agree. The modern day hymns are not a patch on the old.
We need a blend.
Singing
that are important.
Yes.
It's the heart. Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so music, as you can see, is a very touchy subject.
Yeah.
Interesting, but it's going out of Babylon. There ain't no music there, that's for sure. Right, okay. Then, next bit, we've got verse, no workman of any trade will ever be found in you again. Right. And this, and so.
Results, isn't it? The world.
No work. Yes, no work. Nobody's doing anything. Yeah, not making anything. Yeah, nothing productive at all. That's the next never. Then the sound of a millstone will never be heard in you again. Mm. What's that for?
No bread.
No food.
Bread.
Yeah, no bread.
Yeah.
So no millstone, because there's no wheat, there's no bread, no workers.
No animals.
Miserable.
No animals to.
Yeah, no animals to do it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. How about that? Dark. That's a bit, I mean, obviously John uses that term in his letters, darkness and light. Mm. Darkness meaning absence of God, absence of blessing, absence of life. Yeah. Yeah. And then the voice of the bridegroom and bride will never be heard in you again. Well, no more marriage, but no more celebrating, no more joy. You know, relationship. It's destroyed.
Top of the twin tower, the post office tower, there's
parties
and celebrations
at
the very top of
the building.
Yeah.
What about them?
Well, the bride and all the music would have been at the top end, and all the business would have been
at
the top.
Oh, right, would it? Yes, okay.
Yeah, all the functions would probably be at the top
end. Oh, right, yeah. It's all gone, yeah.
The post office tower.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So that's the lot. Your merchants and the world's great men by your, the world. Your merchants were the world's great men. Right, now that's interesting. Your merchants were the world's great men, yes. But the thing that strikes... Sorry?
Not anymore.
But the sad thing to my mind is what the world defines as great.
Yeah.
That's what it's really, the sad bit about it, you know. They give themselves badges and labels and important names and stuff like this. Yeah. And it's absolute rot. Yeah. It doesn't count.
No.
Yeah. And Jesus says, woe to you when all men speak well of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they all got nice things to say about you. You're probably something wrong. So, what I'm getting at is, for us, brothers and sisters, we may not make the headlines, we may not be big in terms of how the world and the newspapers and the media reckon us, yeah? But if you're doing what Jesus wants, it counts. It counts, yeah? Right, so, they were the world's great men, yeah? By your magic spell, all the nations were led astray. Mm-hmm. So, one of the real... I was talking to my daughter the other day. It was on about how people, some of the people in charge in the system, make some really stupid and dumb decisions and things like that, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, my love, it's the frogs. No, it's not the French. it's them frogs in Revelation.
Yeah.
The frogs come out to deceive the nations.
Yeah.
Yeah? They do stupid things because they've been taken in.
Yeah.
And it's the occult that does it.
Yeah.
You know? Was it G.K. Chesterton said? He was a Christian, a Catholic man, but he was a believer. And he said, you know, if people won't believe the Lord, they'll believe anything.
Yeah.
And he's right.
That's true.
They've been ever since Exodus, haven't they?
Yeah.
The frogs.
The frogs have been around since then, yeah. Ah, but the demonic activity is much more released at the end of time, it seems to me, Right. Because he knows his time is short. Right. In her, in the world system, Babylon, as it's described here, in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who've been killed on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm saying it's worldwide. It's not just the people on the earth.
No.
And not just the people in Rome or whatever other place it would have been. Yeah, yeah. So their blood, their deaths have been caused by the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's what destroyed the believers. Yeah, and so God's going to pay him back for all of that, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
God remembers, God will pay back the world for what it's done. Yeah? So, all those who've been killed on the earth, that's past, present and future, God has kept a record of his people and he's going to sort them out. The good news is, brothers and sisters, if they bump you off, you're going home. Right? And we've got to get to chapter 19, that Jesus comes back in chapter 19, did you know that?
No.
Oh, it's good. We want some good stuff. Mind, we've got an interesting bit just still to come. We've got to get rid of the devil.
Good.
Right? We've managed the Antichrist, we've given him a bit of a licking. He gets another thrashing in chapter 19, we've got the devil to go after that.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah, yes.
Yeah.
Do you think though in this modern time that maybe the the World Trade Center could have been something symbolic that was going on here, like 1 hour and it burned
an hour. It was symbolic, yes. Yeah, there's a book.
About the towers falling, that's I made my connection years ago. Like we've always talked about Daniel.
Yeah. But the towers being and gone, you know, the effects of that have set off in chain in the most, a lot of the world instabilities is worse now because of that.
And the wisdom, it says you need wisdom to understand things, the number of the beast and things like that. So, years ago, I played around with a lot of different maths.
All right. Well, we can have fun with that.
And you mentioned one time about maths, in, I don't know if it was Hebrew or the Greek, certain words you found.
Yes, you can calculate numbers on,
But it was our alphabet that I thought was more interesting because it was given to us by the Romans. So when you use that, unusually, like, man was created on the sixth day or nay, and you keep adding six all the way through that alphabet, then certain words of the occult or New York will come to 666.
All right.
But it seems to be
You can do some engineering and all of these things. Have some fun.
I did test it with some Hebrew people in London. I know the numericals in the Hebrew.
Yeah.
And I said, well, can you give me some time and put these words through
your system?
And none of them come to 666. I already knew they didn't in the Greek because on my internet.
But it's the English. I blame the English. Well, there you are, brothers and sisters. There's keep your eyes open. That's the way. Watch and pray. That's the bit. Let's pray then. Lord, thank you for your promises. That Lord, that you are a God who is just and righteous. And Lord, while we don't rejoice over the wicked being destroyed, Lord, yet Lord, there is opportunity for people to repent even right up to this very last hour in which we live. Lord, may we see people gathered in as some take warning from what happens, Lord, and what they see around them. Lord, that happened at the Twin Towers. We know that some found Christ, Lord, as a result of what went through. Lord, we pray in our world where the judgments are about, Lord, and we see things heading up to a really big system, Lord, that's coming to crash down. Lord, thank you, Jesus, that we're still in the best of hands when we're in your hands, Lord, and that you know how to look after your children and how to care for us. Lord, we pray you help us to trust you when all around this seems to be collapsing around our ears. Lord, help us to hold on to Jesus, for Lord, you said you'd never leave us or forsake us, and Lord, you made a promise, you will keep it. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings and your mercies. Amen.
Amen. Amen.